Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Hey everyone, this is Judy with Wellness Renaissance and the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. We have the Spirit and Wellness Connection panelists all put together in a fine little package for you. So I want to introduce you to them, and then we will play the four little snippets so you get a little bit of a taste of some of the things they're going to talk about. We'll start there, and then I will come back to you. Erin DeWitt is going to be the first voice you hear from Conscious Living. And then Teresa Williams, who writes uplifting and positive music, writes and sings uplifting positive music, as well as a lot of other stuff. You may recognize her name from around town if you're a Duluthian. That is panel one. Panel two and the third and fourth voices you're going to hear in our little snippets: Sarah Mitchell with Sarah Faye Healing and Dr. Laura Hill. Unusual, unique chiropractic care.
Wait, the question is really a human condition. And it's, how can I get into a state of mind, you know, quiet my mind and calm my mind and get into a state of mindfulness? Well, the answer is, you cannot. So, our minds are busy.
Music's always been my go-to thing, even before I played any instruments or anything. Kind of my go-to thing for feeling better, or like when I'm happy anyway, I kind of want to celebrate, you know, with some music. And so it's just always been really, I don't know if an emotional thing is the right description, but it's very tied to my emotional system, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does to me.
They're so scared to step out of those boundaries. So it's a matter of, okay, I can embrace you. Mm-hmm. God already does. The universal light is already there. So how are you going to embrace it? Mm-hmm. And how are you going to allow yourself to embrace it? That's the hardest thing. That for this century, that is the biggest word, is allow. Mm. We're not allowing ourselves to resonate with anything because we're so fearful.
So a lot of people, there's a little bit of this controversy, this back and forth of, well, is it the bone that's out of place and then the muscle is tight, or is the muscle that's pulling out of place? And, you know, as long as the muscle is tight, you're just going to have it keep on going. So we should work with the muscle, or is it the bone? Because the bone is making the muscle. And so there's a lot of this going back and forth. And it's really easy to sort of transcend that whole conversation by just saying, actually, the muscles don't move themselves either. The muscles are actually being told to move by the
nervous system.
The nervous system, right, that brain-body connection.
Before heading on into panel one, I just had a couple things I wanted to share. First of all, I twisted Teresa Williams' arm. She's on the first panel, and she let me take one of her recordings. And it's not the most professional recording in the world, but it is a great song, and the guitar is fantastic on it. So that's going to be at the end, so a little treat there. I also wanted to thank all of you who submitted questions for the panels. I know we didn't quite get to all of them. It got to be a little bit of a crazy day, and a couple of them are still coming up. Mary, if you are listening to this, you submitted a question, and I am still trying to reach you by email to let you know you won the Renegade tickets from Zeitgeist. So if you're hearing this, please, please get a hold of me. I would love to get them to you. Thank you again to all who sent in questions and entered to win. And thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for supporting the podcast, sharing this around. You know, if you've got somebody who might be interested in the information that we're sharing on the panels or some of the other podcasts, please don't hesitate to share that information. If you're getting the email, also feel free to forward the email. If you're not on our email list, please do join. We send out an email once a week. You can find all the podcasts, all 80 plus of them, signing up for email, and also tickets to the podcast party. Please, please get your tickets soon, especially those of you who are listening who have been guests on the podcast, so that you can get your advertising bit in for the directory that we're trying to create that evening. That would be fantastic. Plus, we need to know how many people are coming, so we make sure we've got food for everybody, right? Come join in the fun and celebrate on the 27th. Come in community, a little networking, a little live podcast recording, lots of good stuff. Find all of that stuff at wellnessrenpodcast.com. Each guest will give their contact information, but you will also be able to find it in the show notes. When you go to the website, click on the title and you'll open it up, and we'll have some other things that were referenced and mentioned by the folks on the panel as well. We had a really great time at the panels. I really hope you enjoy it. These guys did a fantastic job sharing. And on a whimsical note, we get to talk about our emotions being stuck in a small stable and not happy about being there, and Rick Springfield at a gas station, and Lutheran casserole dishes, and we had a chiropractor giving us love advice. It was a good day. All right, without further ado, let's get into panel one. This is going to be Aaron DeWitt and Teresa Williams. And maybe I can convince my tech guy to take little pieces of Teresa Williams' song Floating. So if you hear random guitar strumming between little snippets, you'll know that's Teresa. Sometimes you have to resort to communicating through recorded intros and outros with your tech people. You gotta do what you gotta do. Welcome, everybody, to the Wellness Renaissance podcast, Heart to Heart, Spirit and Wellness Connection. This is very exciting. It's always fun to be here. Second year, still always fun. So this is the first part of our panel. We're doing each half hour, we're kind of switching out with different practitioners. So I'm going to start out by having you ladies introduce yourselves and what you do, and then we'll dive into the questions and the details. How's that?
Sounds wonderful. Well, thank you for having us here today, and thank you to all of those that are here in this room and that are at home listening or wherever you are. My name is Erin DeWitt, and my business is called Conscious Living. That's located in the Duluth Hub, which is on the corner of 10th Avenue East and 9th Street. I share a space with Dr. Shannon May, who is an acupuncturist and naturopathic doctor. There's a lot of healing arts folks in the building, so you'll have to check that out and come and visit us. So, who am I? What am I? Is this right? Am I tracking
all
here?
All of those things. Who
and
what?
These are the existential
kind of
questions that you are having us start off with today. I'm a work in progress, and I've been teaching Reiki. I'm a Reiki master teacher. I've been teaching Reiki now for since 2007.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
And so, and if folks aren't familiar with what Reiki is, it is a Japanese technique for stress reduction and relaxation, but it's really much more than that. It can be a lifestyle modification tool, and Western medicine often interacts with complementary medicine, which is what Reiki is a part of, complementary and alternative medicine, as that. Yoga is considered a lifestyle modification tool, but those are only that when you actually practice them. So what I thrive on is sharing the tools that I have in my toolbox and empowering others to open up their toolbox, see what's in there, and grow their toolbox so that they can thrive sustainably, living the way that they would like to see themselves living. So Reiki is one way to do that. I'm also a sound healer. And I'm a wellness educator, so I teach mindfulness, and I bring all of those things into my sessions. So a session is called a balancing session, and essentially what happens is I show up, I listen to what a client has to share, what their intention is for the day and for the session, and then I get out of the way, and I affirm their intention and invite what of my tools in my toolbox would like to come through to be in support of that person so that they receive what they need during their session for their greatest good. And I have the belief that we are all healers. So I don't heal anyone. I work in partnership with them as the healer that they are in healing themselves. So that's really my philosophy in doing this kind of work. It's more of play. Where we play together in this infinite field of possibilities. I also share what are called messages with spirit, and those are very delightful, where I journey on behalf of a client. So it's not in person. I do that in my own space with one or two questions that they might have for their compassionate helping spirits and guides. Maybe they're having a little bit of hard time connecting with that part of them that remembers how to communicate with their compassionate helping spirits and guides. And so I can do that. So I journey and I listen and I pay attention and I record, voice record the whole journey experience and share that with the person. And then also share, well, any insights that may have come forward in the session. And that experience has evolved. In 2017, I was in a journey and guided to paint the journey. And this brought forth a whole amount of resistance within me because I've not considered myself a painter. And I have, my dad is a painter, my uncle's a painter, like all these beautiful beings in my life that I look at and say, oh, those are masters, right? And so I had a lot of lack consciousness at first around that that I needed to work through. And essentially, the gift was to let go of that, which is an invitation, right, for all of us. And I met a really wonderful woman named Whitney Freya who teaches how to do this kind of thing. And so that has been what I've been doing, let go and allow what wants to come through. It's not me painting in a way. So now the messages with spirit, they're called portal paintings. So that's another opportunity for people to step into where I would then paint the journey message onto canvas. And it's in layers. So no one else would see that message. And the painting becomes an interactive painting once the layers of the message and whatever image came through comes through. And I voice record the journey like I do with Messages with Spirit. But then I also voice record a meditation, a guided meditation. People can interact with the painting as a portal, really, to whether it's developing strengthening a relationship with a guide of theirs or anchoring in an intention that they have, whatever it is. And then a sound also that comes forth for them during the journey. I voice record that. So I'm having a lot of fun. I'm learning a lot about myself and about our potential as human beings. And that's very exciting for me.
And bringing other people forward in that as well, yeah. As you kind of always have. You've always been out there doing, but then bringing people into the fold and helping them experience and grow themselves in
Thank
ways
you.
That they want to too.
Which Thank
is,
you.
Yeah. Oh, Erin has been my connection to Duluth community, because when I moved here, I had a college class that I had to do a project for, and I wanted to do something that was in my outside of my school experience and more in my belief experience. And Erin got me into community, into Duluth, and connected more than I'd ever been in my life to anywhere. So I appreciate that.
It's so fun. It's so fun to see what you're doing. Oh my gosh, this.
I know, right?
You had that same trigger, right, about the wellness podcast as I did about painting.
Right.
And look at you now.
Right, right. So cool. Thank you. That's an awesome start. All right, Teresa. Introduce yourself and tell us about you.
Okay, well, my name's Teresa Williams, and I'm, I don't know if I can label myself as any specific thing. I do a lot of things. One of the things mostly that I'm here with is I'm a musician, and I do a lot of different types of music, but one thing in particular that I do is what I call positive music. So I write songs that have uplifting or encouraging messages to them, and I'm in the process right now of developing a presentation with that, where I do some talking about those types of things, about confidence, encouragement, self-worth, all that, and I intermix these songs that I've written with it. I've wanted to do that for a few years now, and I'm finally getting it put together, because I'm finally been able to write the kind of songs that have those types of messages to them. And so I guess Erin must have sent some juju my way, some channeling juju.
No, I think you already had it. You've understood for a very long time the power of words.
Yes.
I mean, if we're going to sing a song, why not sing a song that has a good, a positive impact on ourselves and others?
Yeah, and so I get, like I said, I do other things too, but that's mainly what I'm focused on here today.
Okay.
Is the music portion.
So I know you perform. Do you, and you've talked about having this presentation that you're doing, but do
yes.
you have like music people can experience via the web or purchase at this point?
Yes. So for everything I have is free. So you're welcome to it. I have today, even I have free CDs at my table, so anybody's welcome to come by and get one. And that is a positive music CD. It's all positive music on that. And then I have a website, TeresaWilliamsMusic.com, that has some other songs on it. I'm on Facebook as acoustic artist Teresa Williams, and I normally post there when I'm going to have my performances, where they are, and all that. I'm kind of scattered around. I have Reverb Nation, I have SoundCloud. So, I mean, I'm kind of all over the place, and I have kind of tend to split my songs up between all those different places, so you don't go to my website and have, you know, these four songs, and then you look at Reverb Nation and it's
got
the same
it.
Four songs.
So if they find you in one spot, they're going to find your stuff.
Yep, exactly. Okay. And then I also have a YouTube channel, and so there's some videos on that. I believe most of the videos that I have on there are original songs, but there's probably a couple of cover songs on there too. I like to do my originals, but people like to hear songs that are familiar, so I also do some covers.
Right. Kind of a nice little mixing of the new stuff with
it
the
is, yeah.
old familiar, something
yeah,
that calls to
I
you.
Even get requests for one of my songs now.
Nice!
I've played it. And it's not one of the positive music songs, but it is a lot of fun.
I just was thinking about the whole aspect of the fact that, you know, I know when I am feeling bummed out, it isn't always happy music that I go to. Sometimes it's more slightly depressing music that is the thing that brings me into a better place, and yeah. I don't understand that about myself, but I know I'm not alone in that.
Yeah,
you know?
Music is, it's not always that the sad songs are going to make you sad and the happy songs are going to make you happy. It's kind of where you're at the time you're listening to it, and somewhat of how it's all put together, what it'll do to you. As you well know, there are songs that sound happy that aren't happy.
Right.
And the reverse, too.
Exactly.
You know, they don't sound very happy, but they are happy, so.
Right. And we all connect with music differently, right? Sometimes it's the lyrics, sometimes it's not even the lyrics, sometimes it's just the tonalities that are in
exactly.
them that call us. And,
yeah.
and then, of course, experiences we've had with the song and where we learned about the song and all of that stuff. I know, Erin, you have to leave soon, so I want to, first of all, any follow-up questions for Erin?
I'm just not knowledgeable enough. In general, what is Reiki? I'm sorry, I just...
Oh, sure. No, that's a very fair question. Yeah. So, it is a form of what would be considered energy work. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with acupuncture at all?
Yep.
So, with acupuncture, so that's been, you know, in our culture, that's something that's been around a little bit more, that we're more familiar with. So, the acupuncturist works with needles,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And those are connected with the meridian systems on the body, which are energetic systems. Well, Reiki is very similar to acupuncture without the needles. So, mm-hmm. we're working with the energy fields of the body, so out here, and then also, my hands are showing outside my body. I kind of forget that we're listening
so
in too.
Big, so big.
And then also at different places on the body. So Reiki, really the science geek in me would like to say, and will, Reiki helps us to interact with ourselves in a more quantum way, if you're thinking of quantum physics. Mm. So going beyond the limitations of time and space. So we're able to work with energies of trauma, without having to relive trauma. So we can go into that energetic holding of that trauma where it might be in our body, because sometimes when we have something going on, it's some form of dis-ease. We're not having ease in that part of our body. So Reiki is an energy or frequency. Like if you're going to want to listen to 103.3, you're going to have to tune into that on dial, that frequency. Reiki is a frequency. And essentially, there's a really wonderful study that was done at the University of Arizona where they put practitioners, nodes on them, and then also on folks that were laying on massage tables. And they were looking at an EEG and an EKG to see what, if anything, could they measure with these devices that we have that actually measure energy. And what they saw was very interesting, that an extremely low frequency, which is called an ELF frequency, not to like marginalize energy work even more by calling it that, but so there's this extremely low frequency that pulses from the practitioner's hands as they're sharing, whether it's Reiki or healing touch or quantum touch, you know, many different types of modalities. And then the pattern that was showing up on the brain of the practitioner was showing up in the heart, the same pattern in the heart of the person that was receiving. So there is a communication, some sort of an exchange that's happening that we may not really understand right now, but we are getting some devices available to us that's helping open the door to that understanding, especially within the fields of neurobiology and different neuropsychology, where we're looking at the brain and we're looking at the chemicals in the brain, that how they're connected with different emotions. So Reiki helps us, it's an energy or a frequency that's shared that helps the body resonate and entrain to that frequency that it would need to come into to restore a state of homeostasis or balance. So that's a little...
So when you talk about sounds that you give to people mm-hmm. individually on a, you know, the time, mm-hmm. some resonance with whatever you feel they need.
And that actually even comes from beyond me. So during the guided, during the journey, I actually ask for a sound. So it's less of coming from my mind what I think they need, and more for me to be in a receptive state to hear a sound that's coming from their compassionate helping spirits and guides, or more scientifically, from that infinite field of possibility for that particular person that would help them with whatever it is that they have going on in their life at that time.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Questions? Yeah?
How, do you have any advice for how to kind of calm my mind, like to get into mindfulness, but like stop my head from going different places when I'm trying to...
Do you want me to answer?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay.
Can you repeat the question?
Okay, so the question is, we all have this, right? Because you are, the question is really a human condition. And it's, how can I get into a state of mind, you know, quiet my mind and calm my mind and get into a state of mindfulness? Well, the answer is, you cannot. So our minds are busy, right? And so knowing that and just honoring the mind and that it will be busy and allowing the spaciousness for us. So let's say you had a whole bunch of horses in a small stall, right? Just like your emotions, they're all in this small stall. Well, they want out. They don't want to be in the small stall. So if you open up the stall and allow all those emotions to wander in this field, just like you would the horses, well, they're not kicking. Right? So it releases the charge a little bit. So when you get into that state and set the intention that you're going to meditate, and maybe even set the intention to why? Why do you want to sit? What is your desire in sitting and being quiet? And in our quietness, we can observe what we're noticing in our minds. What I often will guide clients with sessions, I would invite them to be alongside the riverbank of their thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And you could do that too. Okay, I'm alongside the riverbank of my thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And if you ever find yourself engaged in the river with those thoughts, feelings, and emotions with kindness, right? Say, oh, I'm in the river. And allow yourself to come back up alongside the bank as that observer again. So that helps to release the charge and the hold, but without us trying to stop something that's so natural with us, the thoughts will be there. It's how much attention we give to them. So we can notice them and say, oh, hello, whatever it might be. Hello, worry. Welcome. We're sitting together in meditation right now. Run free if you'd like. And then bring yourself to your breath, or whatever it is for you, coming back to that river or coming back to your breath over and over again. And it's entering with beginner's mind. You know, there's often an idea or a thought that enlightenment or this mindfulness state is something that we have to get to. And in my experience and what I'm witnessing with clients and teachers of mine is that we are already that. And so it's just remembering that and this constant returning to that. And our humanity will show up and bring us back to our human condition, which is, oh, what am I going to make for dinner tonight? Or I have to go pick up the kids. And so with kindness, we greet that part of us and say, oh, hello, yes, I know we still have to grocery shop. Right now we're here. Let's be here now. And you just keep starting over. I do that. I've been practicing it for a long time, and I just start over and meet myself with kindness each time. Oh, okay. Human condition, there you are. We're here right now, and just for right now, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, we're going to breathe. And all those emotions can be there breathing with you. So it releases the charge when we don't try to push them out. The water settles.
I think it's a really nice point, your point that you're making, that you're still figuring this out, right?
Oh, yeah.
That you're, that it's about creating new habits, mm-hmm. not about reaching the state. Because I think when we think about reaching the state, we feel those habits creep in, or if we feel the struggle or whatever, the pull of the mm-hmm. old habits, and so we feel like, oh, forget it. I'm not an enlightened person. I can't do that, right?
Yeah.
And it feels like this other thing we're trying to attain, rather than this sort of separation of just our old patterns, replacing new patterns, finding that place and longer peace and longer moments of focus on, or letting, you know, being on the banks of the river kind of thing.
Absolutely. There is no end point. We are constantly evolving. We don't stop. Changes are constant. Right? And so if we can embrace that and be present, I mean, presencing, that's the whole purpose, right, of meditating usually, to just be present. And if the sages and mystics are correct, which I have a sense that they are, and now science is getting their little two cents in as well, the presence is all that is truly real. So those thoughts that we often have are from the past or about the future. And we can even do that, like, if we're running a conversation in our head as we're sitting and practicing being in presence, we can say, oh, hello, past, past, past. My breath is right here, right now, I'm in the present. Or, oh, I gotta run those errands. Oh, hello, future. So we can even go really general, and sometimes that helps.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything you wanna add to that, Teresa?
Yeah, I think Erin's awesome.
Oh, wonderful. You're awesome.
No, just the way you talk about things is so easy to understand. I mean, you just make everything so simple and mm-hmm. and easy. You know, like when you think about, like you said, and like you asked about, you know, sitting in meditation and my mind keeps wandering and it's, you know, mm-hmm. I don't think about that. You know, no, I'm here now, you know. I think I gotta stop thinking about that. Mm-hmm. I gotta, you know, I'm mm-hmm. trying to meditate.
Yeah,
here,
we beat so. Ourselves yeah. up all the time.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I love the way you explain things.
Thank you.
It's even I can understand.
Oh. Oh, what I do love. This is not. I have to be careful how I frame this because I don't want. So you asked about Reiki. So some of these things that have seemed kind of out there in left field, now they have the, you know, how they have the electronics for dummies. They actually have a Reiki for Dummies book. And so this nice going general. And I really think that's the case, right? Is like so much of this is becoming mainstream, but we're learning how to talk about it mm-hmm. because more people are opening themselves up to experiencing it because we're feeling this, oh, you know, I gotta catch up on being successful. I gotta catch up on getting my chores done. I gotta catch up with my list at work. There is no such thing as catching up.
Right.
There isn't. Just being present with what's now.
Yeah, time does not stand still.
Yeah, nope. Mm.
Nice.
Nope.
And I one more question about Reiki.
Yeah.
So in just the addition of when you're doing Reiki, just to give somebody who is not okay. experienced with it, You're doing, it's typically hands-off. I don't know how you work now. I know how you used to work.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. we're hands-on, hands-off, distance healing.
Yep.
Like all of those things are a part of it for you.
Okay, thank you for asking that. So clients are fully clothed during a Reiki session. And right now, really, the sessions that I'm doing, I really do call them balancing sessions because I invite whatever, you know, if it's Reiki and any of the other tools like this gentleman brought up about sound. So whatever it is that wants to come forward. So sessions now for me would be hands-on, hands-off. People are fully clothed. And it's very light touch if there is touch at all. If you think about how we are tuned in to different emotions and energies around us. When you go into a meeting at work or you go home and you have a partner or any kids or roommate, You can tell before anybody says anything, usually, what kind of day they've had, right? You're tuning into their energy. You're maybe seeing how they're expressing their physical body. But we also feel the energetics coming from the body. And so I tune into that when I'm in the space. Sometimes I feel tingles on my hands. I feel heat or warmth. And then I will go to that part of the body or within the energy field on the person, and I'll hang out there until something shifts with what it was that I was feeling. And for me, that's an indication of communication. So, oh, Judy right now, my hands are tingling here, or there's warmth. Oh, Judy and I are communicating here right now in the field. It's not, oh, I'm feeling something here with my hands. There's something really wrong with Judy right here, and I have to fix it. No one's broken. No one needs fixing. And so it's essentially showing up for what I'm sensing, feeling, or intuiting, and knowing that we're communicating and just being in that space for whatever it is that needs to shift until I might get distracted or be called to go somewhere else, or maybe I'm thinking about what I'm going to make for dinner. I'm like, oh, I must be done right here. We're no longer communicating, so I'll move to another spot.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And how can people connect with you?
So my business is consciouslivingnow.org. So you can connect online. Mm-hmm. I have online scheduling. You could also call me. I have business cards here for those of you who are at the event, but consciouslivingnow.org is my website. That's usually the best way to get a hold of me. I have the different kinds of workshops and trainings that I offer available there, as well as the different kinds of sessions.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah. Thank you for being
here.
And
thank you, Teresa. I love you too.
I love you too.
I like your song.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you. Teresa, what do you find any specific kind of rhythms or music that fits for any particular disorders? Or do you think, no, it's all vague?
Well, again, I guess it depends on the person who's listening and their receptiveness to different things. And I would imagine that different types of things work different with different people, like other things.
We read about music therapy and been taught in colleges, right?
I believe so. I'm not a music therapist. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish I was.
It sounds like you have that potential.
Music's always been my go-to thing, even before I played any instruments or anything. Kind of my go-to thing for feeling better, or like when I'm happy anyway, I kind of want to celebrate, with some music. And so it's just always been really, I don't know if an emotional thing is the right description, but it's very tied to my emotional system, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does to me.
Yeah. and I think there's a lot of people who don't realize the effect like music will have on you. Mm. Like, for example, if you go to the gas station and you're pumping your gas, they usually have music playing.
Oh, yes,
so then you get home and you're like, hello, Michelle, Jesse's girl. And you're like, where did that come from? And sometimes you can remember that was playing at the gas station. So it's almost, some of it is almost like a subconscious thing. If your places where there's music playing and it's not really in the forefront, like you're not watching a performance, but it's just background, like at the gas station. I've even found, I'm pretty sensitive anyway to a lot of energy. Mm. And so I find that those kind of things, it will do that to me. Like I'll hear, I don't know, a song and all of a sudden,
it affects your body.
The people on the podcast can't see what I'm doing.
Right.
I'm kind of bebopping in my chair, and a lot of times it's all subconscious, so I don't know where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll have a song stuck in my head and I'll ask my husband, why do I have this stuck in my head? And he'll be like, well, we were at the grocery store and that was playing at the grocery store. Well, it's not a conscious thing, but it will creep in there and it'll grab the part of you that needs it, I guess, is the best way I can explain it.
John Moe was on the Hilarious World of Depression podcast just this week, going over, reviewing a whole bunch of people who are depressed, just they're naming the songs that help them feel out of their situation. Said, oh yeah, that's what I turn on.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, if anybody, The Hilarious World of Depression is an amazing podcast. And one of the things he does is he talks to people who have depression and he asks them what their songs are that are the thing that helps them. And so sometimes they're happy songs, sometimes they're not happy songs. But they're, but it's I think it's so interesting as to what calls to us and what speaks to us. And like you're saying, you're kind of you're creating that positive music, you know, with the acknowledgement that that's not always what does it for us. But to have that going through our ears, and it's what we, it does affect us. I mean, like you're saying, the subconscious level that music has is so huge for many of us.
Yeah, because sometimes you just, you feel bad and you want a sad song and you want to wallow in it for a while. And then, like what's happened to me in that kind of situation, I'll be listening to it and I'll, you know, I'm feeling bad or whatever, and I start listening to it, even though the song is a sad one or whatever, and pretty soon it's like I'm just singing along, and then, you know, I'm like, oh.
And you've like dumped the mood, right?
Exactly.
It's like sometimes it's, you've gotten yourself into that better mood with the bummer song.
It's just not so much the type of song sometimes, it's just that it's music for some reason, so it must be something in that layers within that song that...
Right.
Or the uplifting part, even though you're not conscious of what that is.
Right. Or the tones. I know I heard something on NPR years ago that talked about the tones that we hear. And so, like, they were saying that the tones of, like, they were talking about computers, the drones of computers and the drones of all that stuff. And some of them, they were like, had really negative effects on our bodies that we're just listening to. So you think of music and it's taking us all over and combining those tones and probably releasing us from some of those negative drone sounds that we're hearing.
Yeah. Well, have you seen that Dr. Emoto, I believe, is in this study with where he played different kinds of music even for water.
Yes.
And froze it, and the types of ice crystals that came. You know, like some really heavy metal thrashing music, crystals were all, I don't know.
They're kind of jaggedy and...
Yeah, and they're not, there's no symmetry or, I don't know what the word is, but the ones that got the positive music, they're all like beautiful and they all look almost identical and they're a nice geometric...
pattern.
They're more geometrically sound, to put it that way.
Right.
If that makes any sense. And then the ones that got the... I don't know. I'll just call it death metal. The ones that got death metal played from, you know, there's like some might be all in a cluster together and they're different sizes and different shapes and it's almost like it has a negative effect on it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. It is. It's wild. It's very wild. Anything else you want to add and you want to give your, at least give your website or the way to connect with your music one more time?
Sure. My website is teresawilliamsmusic.com and I'm also on Facebook, YouTube, as acoustic artist Teresa Williams. And I really appreciate you guys being here today. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Judy.
On to panel two. This is Sarah Mitchell with Sarah Faye Healing and Dr. Laura Hill. Let's just dive in, Sarah.
Hey.
Introduce yourself and your business and your work.
Sure. My name is Sarah Mitchell. I own and run Sarah Faye Healing with my husband. We have been in the business for over 10 years. I do healing touch. I do Reiki. I'm a minister. I work with stones. I work with angels. I do tarot card readings. A little bit of everything.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. A one-stop shop for a lot
Pretty
of stuff.
Much. If you're Wiccan or anything else, I probably have it.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So talk about that a little more. In just what does that look like in working with people and you know, because you offer so many things, you know, are people coming to you saying, I want this sort of modality or thing, or do they say, hi, help me? And then
I get all ends of the spectrums. I am very cautious to not trample on anybody's version of God.
Okay.
Because everybody's version is different.
Right.
So we have to include everything. It took me a long time to put down my Lutheran casserole dish and realize that I can have that and eat it too. I can have the casserole dish in one hand and I can have my left side in one hand and I can have my stones in the other. Because God is in every single part. But that's my version.
That's a beautiful journey.
And
probably really resonates with a lot of people, as
it
many
does.
People have taken.
It hurts to let it go because it's such a grounding force growing up, because your parents in the Midwest will just slam it into your head like, no, this is how God is and this are the rules and you have to follow the Ten Commandments, but that's not what God intended. God may have made the rules, but man has torn it asunder because the Bible's not complete anymore.
That's why the Book of Enoch is separate. The Book of Mary is out and the Dead Sea Scrolls are out. I've made it my mission right now to read everything. I have a 200 book library at home that I share with other people. They come and get whatever they want about New Age. I have things about Judaism. I have things about the Torah and the Kabbalah and the Quran. And I have everything.
So you could be a very interesting gateway.
Oh, yes.
For somebody who is like...
are trying to figure out what they want to do. I make my plan. I have healer friends in the cities. I have healer friends in Duluth. I have the spiritual psychologists. If I can't do something, I will find somebody who can. That is my job right now, is I am the one who will help you get to where you want to be spiritually, mentally, physically, or emotionally. And that's what I want to be. It's like, okay, you don't want to work with candles? Fine. Work with crystals. Don't want crystals? Fine. Work with water. Work with angels. Work what resonates with you. That's what I want to know.
Okay. And you help them find that in that journey. Yep, there's the people coming out of maybe a particular tradition or religion or whatever who are like, I see over this hill that there's something I want
to
do differently.
They are scared out of their socks.
But I don't know what to do, right?
They're usually scared of rocking the boat because, my family's going to disown me, or my significant other is not going to accept me, right, or I don't know where to go. They're so scared to step out of those boundaries. So it's a matter of, okay, I can embrace you. Mm-hmm. God already does. The universal light is already there. So how are you going to embrace it? Mm-hmm. And how are we going to allow yourself to embrace it? That's the hardest thing. That for this century, that is the biggest word, is allow. Mm. We're not allowing ourselves to resonate with anything because we're so fearful.
Right, right. It's like this scattered...
yes.
Self, because, and I know my own experience of that. What is it that I think or believe or whatever, but there's all these messages coming from various things.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Finding the connecting dots or the connection to that in figuring out then where do you resonate and how do you pull it together. And I think what a cool resource that you must be for that, as somebody is trying to take that journey or discover within themselves and then trying to explain that or speak about that to other people and have it be non-threatening to them and have them keep their own sort of grounding.
Exactly. Because you don't want to tear apart their own basis or their own thought beliefs, or you don't want to push them in the wrong direction. I'm not trying to shove my beliefs on anybody's throat by any means, because that would not be fair, because that's not what God intends either. In our house, my kids are 15, 13, and 11. They know how to sage. They know how to drum. So I have a Hungarian drum in my wall. I have sage from the Native Americans. I have a 23-inch Buddha. I have mala beads from Tibet. I have everything. We are a very eclectic family.
Wow.
So there's nothing's off limits. If there's kids who come into the house, there's a box of rocks they get to play with. They get every kid who stops at my table, they get a free rock because they pick out their favorite color. That color resonates for a reason. It's their first step to realize, hey, I like this for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of, hey, what works?
Anything else you want to say before I have Lara introduce herself?
No, go right ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right.
The more the merrier.
You're up. Lara, introduce yourself and your work.
Sure.
How's that sound for a start-off question?
Sounds great. It actually wasn't a question.
True.
So my name is Dr. Lara Hill, and I work with, basically what I like to say is I help people develop efficiency and coherency in their nervous system. So what does that mean? I am actually trained as a doctor of chiropractic. However, the work that I do is very specialized and very different from what you might consider typically when you're thinking about in your mind about chiropractic. So typically what you think about with the chiropractor is someone who's intervening at the level of the bone, and oftentimes with a very symptomatic approach. However, I'm actually going a step above that, or two steps above that, you could even say, and intervening at the level of the nervous system. So what that ends up doing is it's a little bit more of a root cause approach, and it also tends to be a much more about working with someone's nervous system at retraining and reorganizing itself to be able to have more long-term sustainable changes.
And it is, yes, very different than when we think of chiropractic. We think many people anyway, their experience is go in, lay on the table, get kind of shushed around by practitioner, right? Some crunchies and things like that, which can be helpful. But the work you do is much less about those specific things maybe, but and the work and the touch is very, it's a very different experience if you've been to a
for what we traditionally think is a chiropractor is a very different experience.
Right, because when we're working with the nervous system, remember, this is your brain-body connection, is basically what your nervous system is. And it's the part that is actually telling the rest of your body how to operate. So, you know, with, like we just talked about, sort of that traditional idea of thinking about a chiropractor who's intervening at the level of the bone, taking a bone that's out of alignment and putting it back into place. Now, that bone is passive, which is why we're able to move it with our hands, if that's, you know, the type of work that we're doing. But what is it that's actually telling, how is that bone moving? It's being moved technically by the muscles, typically, right? The muscles and the tendons. Those are actually the more active part of the system. So a lot of people, there's a little bit of this controversy, this back and forth of, well, is it the bone that's out of place and then the muscle is tight, or is the muscle that's pulling out of place? And, you know, as long as the muscle is tight, you're just going to have it keep on going, so we should work with the muscle, or is it the bone? Because the bone is making the muscle. And so there's a lot of this going back and forth. And it's really easy to sort of transcend that whole conversation by just saying, actually, the muscles don't move themselves either. The muscles are actually being told to move by the
nervous system.
The nervous system, right, that brain-body connection. So when we're actually working at that level of the nervous system, it doesn't take a lot of force because we're not forcing anything back into place. All it takes is just at the very, very precise places, based on a very complex analysis, just sort of tuning in the nervous system to itself so that it can self-correct. What this actually ends up doing is it ends up being a very, very, very empowering approach too. Because when your body is healing itself, it's not about someone else doing something to or for you. It's about really empowering your nervous system to develop new strategies how to be in the world.
And I've experienced your care. And it is one of those things that the pressure that you're using is this very, mostly very light pressure. But it's always amazing to me when you get up from the table and you're like, wait a minute, I can breathe. How did this happen? I was just laying there. It didn't feel like she was doing that much to me, but holy cow, things are working differently.
And so that, Judy, is the power of the nervous system. We have this belief in our society that more is bigger, better, faster, more is more effective. And that's, you know, the bigger the problem, the bigger the force that we need. And it's a myth. And I think most of us that have been exposed or spent time or dedicated ourselves to sort of more alternative approaches to health, we get this. We get that sometimes some of those more subtle approaches actually have a bigger long-term results. Sometimes they do take a little bit more patience. It's, you know, it's easier to pop a pill or pop a bone back into place for that sort of that short-term immediate relief, but for really actual long-term sustainable results. And, you know, that doesn't always have to be the case. There are people who have really, really extraordinary results after their very, very first visit in my office. And that's just how it goes when your nervous system is clear, connected, and turned on.
And it's the support. I mean, we think of our bones and muscles as a support structure for our body, but the nervous system kind of gets dismissed, even though it is the connection center with everything.
It is the connection center of everything, exactly. There is no part of our body or life that can operate without our nervous system telling it to do so. And I think that's one thing that, you know, is really an understatement that I think people have the biggest ahas in my practice when they realize is that you live your life through your nervous system. And, you know, we typically, especially when we're in a chiropractor's office, we really associate the nervous system with pain, nerve pain, right? Pinched nerve. When really actually that part of the nervous system is only about 8 to 10% of the nervous system. Everything else has to do with function. And actually not even just function, so the function of our organs, our tissues, our glands. By the way, those are the same glands that are secreting all the stress, you know, hormones and all of the other hormones that have become very popular that we're talking a lot about these days. But in addition to the function of our nervous system, this is our experience of the world that we live in, our inner life, our experience of our emotions, our relationships, are, you know, just being able to witness a sunset. Every single one of these experiences that we have in our life is through our nervous system. And so, you know, there's just so many people out there that are walking around like the dimmer switch is turned on their life. And it breaks my heart, and it actually sets me on fire to really be able to get this message to as many people as I can, so people can know that their quality of life is dramatically impacted by the health of their nervous system.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm gonna, any questions so far?
Well, if the brain is has a certain landscape of all the electrical things that are going on in there, and it is the thing that drives all those muscles and things, then you probably have a therapy for any emotional things, not just moving bones around. What do you find for, say, anxiety or depression, where they also you look at the muscles to determine what the brain's thinking?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked that, Joel, because that is actually one of the more significant things that actually people tend to report when they're in care. I oftentimes joke that the people who come in because they're in pain are kind of the lucky ones. Not that they feel that way when they first come in, but what ends up happening is they come in because they had neck or back pain, and I'm a chiropractor, and they, you know, resonated with what I was doing. But then they end up having their anxiety go away. They're going off of antidepressant medications. They're having their whole world transform in really significant ways, because that's just what happens when your nervous system is in tune and connected.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's something that you said that I think is a piece that I just want to say something about. And that's that, you know, we often think about the brain communicating with the body and how important that is. And it is. But what we don't think about as often is the body communicating with the brain and having that signal be really clear too. Because when there's any interference on either side of that pathway, that's when our brain goes into high alert mode, because it's not in real time, and it's getting confused and it's getting overwhelmed, because it's just getting all this scrambled information that it doesn't quite understand how to accurately interpret. So that becomes the brain-body connection, but also the body-brain connection too.
It's true, it goes both ways. I'm going to hop over to Sarah. So we had a question come in via email.
Okay.
Let me find it on my sheet here. The question is, what is one tip that you recommend to change this person's, who asked the question, to change her energy, and maybe generally our energy, to be open to love in her life? And she's speaking mostly of significant other type of love.
Number one would be how to learn love yourself first. If you can't love yourself, no one else is going to be able to love you the way you expect them to. You can't put limitations on that either. You can't expect someone to love you the way you want, because you have to accept their love the way it comes, because there's really no definition of love. So I would start by working on yourself. Look inside. What do you love about yourself? What do you love about your home? What do you love about your children? What do you love about your significant other? What do you love about your body? You have to look at yourself reality. Okay, this is me. God made me perfect the way I am, but why can't I accept it? Once you start looking at that, then the love is going to come rolling in, because if you can accept you, anybody can accept you. Your emotions are going to change. Your thoughts will change. Your physical is going to change. Your spirituality is going to change. Your energy is then going to change. One positive thought in the world in your own world is going to change everything for you. You just have to find that and make it resonate. Make it manifest. I love myself because I'm worth it. Why are you worth it? And tell yourself this every day. Stuart Smalley on Saturday Night Live is one of my favorites. I'm smart enough. I am good enough. And gosh darn it, people like me. Well, then live it. You have to live it. Like yourself. And find out why. And your energy will change automatically. And then have a real conversation with your significant other. Start talking about them, about what's lacking. Why is the communication off?
And I don't know if she's asking, like, looking for a significant other, like if she's looking to draw that into her life, or if she has one and she's looking to help with communication. So maybe you can press both sides there.
Yep. And speaking of that, I went through a rocky relationship myself, like everybody else. And the best advice I ever got was, you have to be the right person at the right time for the right reasons. So what do you have to do for yourself to put yourself in the right place at the right time for the right reasons? It's no different than trying to go get a car. You have to fix your credit score. you want to find that right significant other, what you're going to do for yourself to make yourself feel so good about yourself that you're glowing with love, that this other person is going to automatically fall in love with your energy.
Okay. You're kind of providing almost practical things to do, which yes. I think sometimes is really needed, because I know many times people say, well, you have to love yourself first. And it's like, well, what does that even mean? Right. What does that look like? No. And how do I go about that?
I can tell anybody, okay, go pick up a piece of rose quartz and love yourself. I mean, no, gosh bless it. I mean, a stone is only one part. A stone is something a person can hold on to and make it an affirmation. It is a tool to be used. Anything can be a tool. If you light a candle to invoke the angels, that's a tool. If you use God and the Ten Commandments, that is a tool. But that is still going to lead the way to love one way or another. It's just a matter of, okay, what do you want to open and how you want to open it? Just take it one step at a time. And remember, there's no time limit. Stop giving yourself limits.
Well, and it's the intent of what right. you're doing and what you're using as a tool.
And get into, you know, your own rituals. I mean, tonight's full moon and energies are higher than hell right now. So it's a matter to use that energy. And there's a 28-day cycle there for a reason. Make those 28 days count. Manifest. What do you want? Work on yourself. Journal every day. Look at yourself in the mirror and really look at who you are and why you're doing the way that you're doing the things you were supposed to do. What are relationships in the past caused you to do? Why are you still acting like this when your mother comes in the room? Why are you still acting like this on the phone when your brother calls? Stop those triggers and stop the unhealthy habits and work on yourself one step at a time. Don't overwhelm yourself, because people tend, like when they do diets, they do way too much at once and then they get sick of it and they can't finish it. Start small. When I tell people they need the journal, or if they have a conversation with somebody and they never got closure because a person died, write that person a letter and then burn it. Get it out of your energy, finish that conversation, and get some closure. When you journal, you don't have to be Anne Frank. You don't need the whole thing written out. I don't care if you write a couple cuss words. I don't care if it's my day sucked. You just journal. You just got it out of there. That's all it takes. It's just a little time for yourself to actually get your emotions out on paper. Make it count for yourself and make it yours. It could be painting, you can toss a rock, put a hammer through a wall. Doesn't matter. What is your outlet? Find it, use it wisely. Make it matter.
And thinking of maybe the question of, with this question in mind, is how does she change her energy? What phrase could she be starting with, just as a starting point to think about, be it say or meditate on or to journal on, that you might recommend?
Start with the basics. Start with, I love myself. Today I'm worth it. Today I'm worth it. Every morning, today I'm worth it. Start there and do things for yourself that make you feel like you're worth it. Take the extra 5 minutes in the bathtub. Take the extra five, do small things for yourself. Schedule time for yourself. We're so busy as Americans that we don't even think about, oh, I should have scheduled myself that 2-hour massage. You're not doing enough for yourself then. That's how you change your energy. Do the little things for yourself. Every morning, wake up. I am worth it. Today, I am beautiful. I'm always beautiful. I am. Use the words I am and manifest that. Your words are important. You are what you eat. And you're also what you say. Watch how you talk to yourself. The things we say to ourselves is what people in the past have told us. That's our definition. You know, you shouldn't eat that much food, or you know, you shouldn't do that. It's not ladylike, or that kind of thing. And all of a sudden you're catching yourself. You're saying that to yourself now 20 years later. Mm-hmm. So change your thought habits. Watch what you tell yourself. Your first thought to yourself is habit. Your second thought is how you want to change it. Because usually that first voice is not yours. It's somebody else's who put that definition there for you. So just watch your speak.
And Judy, I want to add something to that.
Yes,
too.
Please.
As far as, you know, these affirmations are really powerful and super important. And I would say that almost the goal of the affirmation, that's the most important part, is the feeling. Is actually feeling the feeling that you want to be feeling in the future. And so if you want to feel love as often as possible. And to simplify it a little bit, say whatever words it is that makes you feel that love. Actually imagine yourself in a situation where you are receiving love and giving love. You know, if it helps to bring it back to the nervous system, since that's sort of the mode of the conversation that we've been in this, and, you know, that I've been in this conversation, is that brain-body connection. Not only does the brain feed down into the body, But the body gets used to feeling the same emotions and feelings over and over and over again. And that actually feeds back up to the brain, to the thoughts we have, and therefore the actions we take in the world. And so consciously invoking exactly the way that you want to feel, and just to break it down even more, is your energy state energy neutral? Is it energy poor? Or is it energy rich? In addition to whatever, you know, unique and individual feelings that you have. And just checking in on a moment-to-moment basis. Am I, right now, am I energy neutral? Which is totally fine. Most of us are energy neutral most of the time. But to be consciously invoking those more energy-rich states, we have a choice to do that. And certainly being aware when we're in those energy-poor states and taking the time to
exactly
slow down, to take care of yourself, to discover what's going on inside. A lot of us want to jump right to what's next and how can I change it without really taking the time to drop in and discover what it is that's actually going on and to love that.
Exactly. The reality check is the hardest thing for us as humans to look at first, because what we expect to happen, we want it quick. We want it now. It's not going to be that way. So take the time.
Thank you.
Well put. Right. Thank you.
Right. Well, we think about, you know, we did an opening ceremony this morning, and it was kind of, you know, thinking about what, you know, someone, something that you do, what do you appreciate? Get your space, get yourself in that space before going into your day. Or if this person is looking for, if they are looking for a significant other, you know, to being that space where you felt good about yourself or maybe felt good in a relationship to walk out. I don't know if that's the best advice mm-hmm. when you're thinking back to a positive relationship, if that's going to screw up the next one. I don't know how that works, but
sometimes walking out is a positive choice. It just depends on that person's energy. It was a lesson.
Absolutely.
It was a lesson. If it saved your energy and it saved your well-being and your thought process and yourself, it was a positive choice. You just learn what you don't want.
Right.
And you learn more about yourself. So walking out of a relationship is not really a negative thing or a poor thing. It's an actual choice. Walking out of a doctor's office or walking out of, you know, some conversation or walking out of a job. It's like, okay, I just learned this is who I am and this is what I want. Mm-hmm. That just helped define you a little bit more and gave you a clearer picture of your own self-definition.
Yeah. And to take the time to do that.
Right. Exactly.
You know, what wasn't working here?
And to do that deeper values work, where you can actually start to uncover what are my values and what am I looking for in the world? And then we're not being guided and pushed around by our feelings and how we feel all the time, but actually by the choices that we're making based on those higher values that are ultimately going to take us to the place that we want to be.
Right.
I just like to comment that you're stating, you know, the values that aren't working for you, where did you get that idea that you're not
right.
beautiful or whatever is really important? Because most of what we have is somebody else told us.
Right, exactly. Those definitions are not always your definitions or what you're told, what you're taught, that, you know, what you told at home mm-hmm. is, oh my gosh, it is so self-defining, and sometimes it's self-deflating. Mm-hmm. You just don't know it until you actually leave that environment for a while and you go, oh my gosh. What were my parents thinking? You know, even to this day, my mom and I have a close relationship, but she doesn't understand what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. She is very Lutheran. She's very, okay, I'm good. I'm in Western. No, I'm okay. How are you today? Would you like some food? I mean, it's very, I'm like, oh, mom, oh, please, no. And then she still to this day will yell at me if I drop the F-bomb. Mm. Like I'm 12. You know, it's just like...
That's the job of Lutheran parents.
It is.
Treat
it really
you like
is.
You're five until you're dead.
I know. She even trolls me on Facebook when she does it. She is a total Midwestern mother, and it's hilarious. I wait for it all the time. But I just can tell from those values. But now I say, okay, but this is how I define myself. Mm-hmm. I've gotten this far because I had to be true to myself. I'm using vocabulary now that resonates with more people. Not that I always have to cuss, but it just seems to resonate with some people that it's just real. Because mm-hmm. one of my favorite articles is how to say the F word and be spiritual at the same time. It's a wonderful article.
But those voices from childhood are very, very strong.
They are.
Right? They came into our head when our brain was trying to figure out what it was doing and taking things in a pretty intense. And to rewrite that software is a lot of work. Or at least it's something to be aware of that we, once we can define and we understand where that's coming from, is then we can, okay, well, that that came to me then. Well, that was that situation.
And it was an important phase of our development. We actually needed that. In fact, that was actually a part of our survival.
Correct.
That level of our development, mm-hmm. where we learn to fit in, is literally a part of our survival. This mm-hmm. was developed in our evolution. Because, you know, it's less so now, but there was a day when if you didn't think the same way as the rest of your tribe, you would be ostracized and you'd be kicked out and you would literally have a very poor chance of survival.
Right.
And, you know, even nowadays, if you don't have some level of ability to fit in with some group of people, you're not going to be a very healthy person.
Right.
So that is not the ultimate, and recognizing that doing things just the way the other people do it, just because that's the way it's done, is not the ultimate. There are higher choices we can make, guided by different decision making. And it is an important part of what we do, to be able to include and transcend.
Next question for you, Laura. In your practice working with patients, do you have a piece of advice that, or something that you think or would like your patients or people working with you, and maybe this goes for beyond you too, but what can people do to help support them in your work? Like, what can they do outside of your office that would sort of like help support their journey maybe go more efficiently or synergistically, but it'd be that like that one thing they could do outside of your care that would really just blossom their treatment, if there is one thing?
Yes, if there was one thing, as if that's
if that's possible.
And really, that is a huge part of what I do, in addition to just the care that I do, is it's really important for me for people to be empowered in their health as well. I believe that knowledge is a really important component of well-being. And we are actually a society who is information overloaded and knowledge and wisdom deprived. And so to be able to bring that in is a big part of the model of what I do. So I constantly have classes and workshops that I'm offering all the time for my practice members, as well as for, open to members of the community. So that's, of course, something that, you know, people can always check out the website. It's drlarahill.com that, you know, they can look at those people. It ends up sometimes being people's favorite part of care, who are, in care, because the classes are always just really amazing and fun and enlightening. And there's a great community of people who come. And, you know, particularly the folks who are really into all levels of health and really having the conversations that we're having on this podcast and this weekend at the Spirit and Wellness Connection are people who tend to really, really resonate with those classes. And there's also more basic classes of just, you know, spinal care, I tend to be the person who goes to these really upper levels, but I also bring it down to just how to take care of your spine in a way that's not going to undo everything that we're doing on a daily basis. So with that said, I also, and I'll mention, because you use the word patients, and I use that too, because I think there is a time and a place where people come in and they just need a doctor to take care of them. I very quickly let people know that I upgrade them from that status and that title as quickly as I can, and they shift from being patients to practice members, because the process that we're going through is really a co-creation process, and it's us working together in your health. We live in an interdependent universe, and recognizing that, reaching out and getting support of other people to move us in the progression towards our goal and our well-being goals and well-being is a really huge thing, and ultimately we're doing this together. And so for those practice members who are in my practice, of course, I have, this is the idea of keystone habits, right? It's that one thing that if you do it, it's going to have the biggest impact overall on everything else. And spending as much of our time as possible focusing on those things. So there's a few of those things definitely that I tend to find are very, very supportive. And I will share a couple of those things right now. However, I will say that I actually have a handbook that I give all of my practice members when they first when they come to their first workshop. I typically only give it to practice members, but for people who are here today or people who are listening to this podcast later on, I will actually give you that handbook. I call it a handbook to an extraordinary life, because it has what I consider in my world all of those keystone habits, all of those things that are most valuable to affect everything that you do. And so how you can get that, I will give you my office number. You can send a text message to that office number with your name and your email address. And just in case this is afterwards, you should probably say, please send me the handbook to Extraordinary Life or something along those lines, so I not know why you're sending me your email address. So send me your name and your email address to this office number, and I'll give it a couple of times so that you can have the chance to write down. It's 218-464-6673. 218-464-6673. That's the office number, but you can send a text message to that number. You can also email us, and our email is on the website, and you're welcome to contact us that way as well. So I'll send that out. You know, again, make sure you put your name, make sure you put your email address, and make sure you just say why you're sending me that information, and that you want that information. So that's just my special treat for people. This community is really means a lot to me, and so giving back that handbook is just kind of my special way of saying thanks for being here today and taking care of yourself. So a couple of things. Again, one is just constantly exposing yourself to more knowledge and information and really following your heart and what you're drawn to. I think it's one of the most important things you can do. I think there's sort of an innate intelligence that resides in all of us that is probably one of the biggest guides that we have. And really being able to tap in and get in touch with that is a powerful way of moving through and being attracted to the things that are truly going to help, you know, me, you individually, as opposed to just some blanket advice. There are a few things that I think are really valuable for everyone. One is exercise, movement on a daily basis. You know, thinking about that in whatever way you can. I actually just did a Facebook Live about this yesterday or the day before. So you can go to my Facebook page and hear a little bit more about why I think that's such a big deal. But also meditation. Whatever meditation means for you, there's a lot of different forms of meditation out there. A lot of people say, oh, I can't meditate because I just can't sit still and not think. Welcome to being a human. And actually, meditation, there kind of got to be this idea that that's what meditation is sitting, not thinking. That's one very, very, very small, like, crumb of the pie as far as the world of meditation, the kind where you just sit there and you don't think. So
but that takes years of practice.
Right.
That makes you a Buddha. Takes years of enlightenment to get your quiet mind.
Right, precisely. So I really encourage people to find, there's so many apps and everything out there in the world to find a meditation practice that works for you. Really, this is about stillness. This is about, in some cases, affirmations or mantras that really invoke the feelings and thoughts that are going to be bringing you to a place of stillness and to a mm-hmm. place of, you know, that energetic resourcefulness that we've been talking about. And really it has a massive ability to have a shift in your stress response. And sometimes that actually does involve a you know, even a breath practice, a mudra, an eye focus. There's all kinds of different things that meditation might involve that also makes it more active, which makes it a little bit easier to do it because your mind has things to focus on. In fact, actually, I before I was ever a chiropractor, I was a yoga teacher, and I taught, you know, a lot of yoga and meditation, and so I have actually been getting a lot of requests to do that again. So I've just started a Wednesdays meditation right out of the office. And so that's something that as long as people continue to vote for it by showing up, we're going to keep on doing in the office. And that is one of those really active meditations. It's based out of the Kundalini yoga tradition, in that it's both very effective because there's a lot of components, oftentimes a breath, sometimes a mantra or affirmation, sometimes a, you know, hand position, sometimes an eye focus, and multiple things going on at one time. So it's very powerful and very easy to do, in the sense of you're not just sitting there, quote unquote, doing nothing. So those would be probably the two main things that I would say is exercise and meditation. And actually, let me shift it from exercise to actually movement. I think rigorous exercise is a really, really important thing for health and well-being. And a lot of the health indicators that we hear about are relating to a little bit more of rigorous exercise, but just having movement as a daily practice, whether that's going for a walk or doing some type of yoga or whatever that may be, is really essential. Movement is life, and it gets our energy moving in our body and everything else. So exercise or movement, meditation, and then there's also a sort of adjunctive modality that goes along with the care that I do is called somato-respiratory integration, which is a very fancy word. Somato just means body, respiratory just means breath, and we all know what integration means. So it's basically just bringing together the body and the breath in a way that's very intentional and really helps deepen the work that we do. And you can, you know, certainly we every once in a while have classes on that. It's something that I do with my practice members in practice. And there's also books out there that are about it that they do as part of their home care. So those are probably the three main things. There's probably about 10 of them that I recommend that are in that, that are in that workbook, which is kind of a way also of working through it, going into some deeper contemplation questions and things like that. But that would be my personal answer for that. Ultimately, taking care of your nervous system and your energy system.
You have these outside events that are classes and gatherings and things like that, which I think, you know, when we think of religious practice, we think of doing, we talk about, you know, go do other things, keep yourself in that space of quote unquote church, right? And I think of the health events that we do, it's like health church, right? Like keeping that conversation going. You know, I used to have a food group and it was like health church because we would all come together once a month and we would talk about stuff. And it just kind of reminded you why you were there, why you were doing, and it kept you motivated, and other people were doing stuff and you were sharing information. And it was that, oh yeah, that's why I need to do this for myself. You know,
it's one of the most important things we can do is surround ourselves with other people who are, you know, having the thoughts and doing the habits that we most want to do in our lives.
Right. Keeps
it
going.
A lot easier.
We're kind of out of time, sort of, kind of. So I wanted to.
Don't tease.
Sarah, I want to. Is there anything else you want to add about your work? After you do that, I want to make sure that you give your contact information and how people can find you too.
I have a Facebook page, Sarah Fay Healing. I share daily energetic reports and daily memes, things to keep you thinking. I have information about astrology and fairies and Celtic ways, and I try to dive into everything so everybody has a chance to learn something new, a new piece of knowledge. So Sarah Fay Healing is my Facebook page. I can be contacted through there. If you're in the local area, I do travel. I will do healing touch and Reiki in your home for those. You know, there's a small travel fee if I have to come to you. Otherwise, I do have my own space at home. I do blessings. I'm a minister. I do house clearings. I do readings. I do a little bit of everything. So it's a one-stop shop, like you called it before. So I include everybody one way or another. So if they're looking for questions or looking for a resource, I usually can find somebody in my little book of contacts to make sure they get on the right track, whether it's therapy or something else, because you got to treat the mind to get the body better anyway, like we were talking about before. So I usually have a connection to somewhere, someone. If I can't do it, I can find somebody who will.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Anything else you would like to add, and then your contact information again?
If you're not here live today and you want to find a way of connecting with me, kind of learning a little bit more about the care, or if you think it might be a good fit, if we think it might be a good fit, there is a way that I always offer an opportunity for people to sit down, have a conversation with me before they ever do an exam or anything in the office, just to see if the care is a good fit. And so if that's something that you feel like would be valuable for you, you can go to the website, go to the Contact Us page, and click on the schedule to schedule a free pre-consultation. And that's always available. So you can find that on the Contact Us page. Again, that's drlarahill.com. Lara is spelled L-A-R-A. So drlarahill.com. And other than that, you know, the community wellness dinner is a really, really great way to touch base too. Do those fairly regularly. You can go to the upcoming events page on the website to see when the next one of those is, or other classes. But the community wellness dinner is great because, well, for one, you get a free healthy dinner, and that's always a fun thing to do, especially when it's with great people. And if the free dinner was the best thing that you got out of the evening, I will have failed miserably in my mind. So it ends up being a lot of value that people get out of the information that I share, because basically this is some of those, you know, we talked about keystone habits. This is some of the keystone ideas that is really, really important for people to have and to know, and that I would want every single one of my practice members to have, and ultimately everyone in the world to have. So I look forward to seeing you at the next dinner, and feel free to schedule one of those consultations.
All right. Thank you. Thank you both for sharing. This
Thank
was
you.
Fantastic. Good Thank stuff. You. Yeah, you're welcome.
Again, you can find everybody's complete contact information on the show notes. But to give you a quick rundown, Erin DeWitt is at consciouslivingnow.org. Teresa Williams can be found at teresawilliamsmusic.com or acoustic artist Teresa Williams on Facebook and YouTube. Sarah Mitchell with Sarah Fay Healing can be found on Facebook at facebook.com/Sarah Fay Healing. And that is Sarah with an H. And Dr. Lara Hill can be found at drlarahill.com. That's drlarahill.com. Dr. Lara had mentioned SRI, somatic respiratory integration. And if that sounds familiar to you, you can look up SRI or somatic respiratory integration in the search box on the podcast. We have a whole episode about that as well. Teresa Williams is going to take us out with her song, You Were Meant to Shine. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Take good care. And until next week, may you continue to find the pieces of your health and wellness puzzle that fit perfectly for you. Have a great day.